Today on The Journey.
When God tests us, He asks us, what are you willing to give up for me? What are you not willing to give up for me? Whatever He calls you to do, are you willing to do? You willing to give God your best?
What is there in life that you just can't live without? The something or someone that makes every day brighter and better. Now, what if God asked you to give it or him or her up? Would you? Well, as Ron Moore is about to share, that's exactly what God asked of Abraham. What's even more astonishing is that God asked Abraham to return a promise which God himself had made and given. Listen and be encouraged. Also, along with today's message, we want you to have a copy of Ron's book, Ignite. In it, you'll discover a step-by-step spiritual journey that leads to a heart ignited by grace. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the extreme test on the journey.
We're in a series of sermons called God Speaks. We're telling the story of God through the stories of the Bible. And today we want to look at a test so extreme it is hard to imagine. A trial that you and I will never have to face. But from it, we will learn what God expects from the trials and tests we do have to face. So take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 22, and as you're turning there, let me set very quickly the context for this passage. You can read the whole story of Abraham. It's a fantastic story, beginning in Genesis chapter 12, when God calls Abraham to leave his country and leave his people and leave his family and go to a new land. And Abraham says, God, where is this new land? And God says, Abraham, don't even ask. I will show you where it is. You just go. So at the age of 75 years old, Abraham left everything he had ever known. He left with a pack on his back, and he left with this promise of God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God said, Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Great promise, but one problem. Abraham and his wife could not have children. And 11 years later, same promise, same problem, no children. That's when Sarah, his wife, made a bad decision. And she offered her handmaiden, Hagar, to Abraham to produce a child to complete this promise of God. That's when Abraham made an even worse decision. He accepted the offer. Hagar, the handmaiden, gave birth to a son named Ishmael. And to put it very mildly, all heck broke loose in their home. Every corner of his house was filled with bitterness and jealousy and anger, and the tension so thick you could cut it with a knife. And that lasted for the next 13 years with no end in sight. One day, God told Abraham that Sarah was going to have a son. She was 90 years old at this time. And so she did what you and I would probably do. She laughed. But God wasn't joking. And the Lord did exactly what He had promised. He gave Abraham and Sarah a son named Isaac. But still, everything was not peaceful at home. In fact, it got worse. The issue with Hagar and Ishmael came to a head, and Sarah demanded that they leave. Abraham was distressed because this was his son too. Ishmael was his son. But he gave him a wine skin of water And he just sent them on their way. He kicked them out of the house. By the way, God gave Hagar a promise for her son Ishmael to make him into a great nation. And as you know, the Arab nations run through the line of Ishmael. Three of the major religions of the world are traced through the lineage of Abraham, either through Isaac, Christianity, and Judaism, or Islam through Ishmael. Abraham walked with God. In their old age, he gave him a son, Abraham and Sarah. But now he was going to put Abraham through one of the most difficult tests you could ever imagine. And here we begin to wonder if God is Abraham's friend or God is Abraham's enemy. Look at chapter 22. Verse 1 says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. This is being written after the fact. The writer assumes that we have read the whole story and we know the end of it. But he says from the beginning, God tested Abraham. Abraham did not know how it was going to end. Part of being involved in a test is you don't know how it's going to end. You don't know if it's going to end. And he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. That's an unbelievable request. In verse 2, in the Hebrew, in every phrase, God cuts deeper into the heart of Abraham. In Hebrew, it builds like this. Take your son. Take your only son. Take your only son whom you love. Take your only son whom you love, Isaac, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. To defend God here, saying that God has the right to take anyone's life because all of us are sinners, or to defend God here, saying that he never intended Abraham to go through with the sacrifice, misses the point. It's beside the point, really. In verse 2, God seems completely out of character. Not only is he asking for child sacrifice, a ritual reserved for the surrounding pagan nations, not only is he asking a father to put his son to death, an unthinkable request, but he seems to be reneging on his promise of making Abraham into a great nation. Abraham has already sent Ishmael away, his one son by Hagar. He has sent him away into the desert. And now God says, put Isaac to death. This is out of character for God. It's unpredictable. And it makes the test all the more staggering. But here's the first thing we learn from this test of Abraham. God will test us to see if we're willing to give Him our best. We will never be asked to sacrifice our son, to put our son to death. This happened one time in Scripture. It is not normative. But the principle is there. Are you willing to give God your best? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He calls for radical obedience. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Pretty radical stuff, isn't it? It says in Matthew 22, just a few chapters later, one of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with what? All your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. If you don't love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, then you're not really loving me at all, Jesus says. And God knew if Abraham would follow through in this instruction to put his son to death, put the promise of God to death, then he had all of Abraham's heart and all of Abraham's soul and all of Abraham's mind. He had his best. In our culture today, I think most of you will agree, many people treat Christianity like a hobby. It's something we enjoy, but it's certainly not what we make our living from. We enjoy coming to church. We enjoy singing hymns. And as long as it doesn't interfere with what we really want to do, that's okay. If it helps out, if it kind of makes us feel better about ourselves, that's fantastic. But God, don't ask me to do anything real radical here. I'm not a fanatic. I mean, come on. When God tests us, He asks us, what are you willing to give up for me? What are you not willing to give up for me? You willing to give God your best? Whatever He calls you to do, are you willing to do? That's what He demands. It's not an option if you're going to follow God. It's not something you can do or can't do. It's not a, well, maybe I'll get around to it type of thing. This is not a hobby we're involved in. It takes all of our life. That's why Jesus says, count the cost before you get into this thing. Are you willing to give God your best? And you know what your best is. Here's the second thing we learn from this test from Abraham. God tests us to see if we are willing to surrender and trust Him. He tests us to see if we're willing to do what we sing about and tell others we're willing to do. Look at verse 3. Abraham had been told to go sacrifice his son. What would you have done? Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took two of his servants with him, two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we'll come back to you. Look at verse 9. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and he arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Could you watch that? Even in my imagination, I have to turn the picture off right there. Abraham, in raw obedience, was willing to kill his son and surrender and trust to God. Now, God will never ask us to do that. But He asks us for the same surrender and the same trust. Look at verse 11. Knife is up. He is ready to do what God has asked. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know. What? Now I know you would put your money where your mouth is. Now I know that you would really do everything you sing about. Now I know you would really do everything you tell others about. In God's word, Abraham, now I know you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Now I know that you love me with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Now I know you fear me. Some things God will never ask us to do. And I can say with certainty that this was a one-time request in Scripture. He will never ask us to put our child to death. The question is this: are you willing to surrender your children to Him so that He can use them the way He sees fit? What if God instructed you to sell one of your homes or one of your cars to do something radical that He wanted you to do? Would you be willing to? What if God wanted you to do something so extreme, so radical, so out of your comfort zone? Forget killing your kids. He's not going to ask you to do that, but He may ask you to do something that will demonstrate your love to Him, and then He'll say, "Now I know you really love me." Again, this action is not normative, but the principles are repeated over and over and over in Scripture. Are you willing to trust? Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to give your best? Sometimes God will test us to see if, in fact, we are willing to do what we sing about and what we say we will. Without going against God's revealed will in Scripture, is there anything you are not willing to give up for Him? If so, then you're not really obeying His word to love Him with all your heart and your soul and your strength. The greatest commandment. One more principle here we learn. God tests us to see if we are willing to depend on Him for everything we need. So take away that bank account and take away that retirement fund. What are you really depending on? Look at verse 5. Abraham said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back." Now that doesn't make sense in the story, doesn't it? We're going to go, I'm going to put my son to death, and then we're going to come back. How does that work? We're not told here in the Old Testament, but the writer of the Hebrews explains it like this. Hebrews 11, "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.'" And then the writer makes this conclusion. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. He would do exactly what God said, and Abraham said He'll bring him back to life because I believe in His promise. And then the writer adds, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Look at verse 6 in chapter 22. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and he placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up to his father. "Father, yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb or the burnt offering?" Look at verse 8. Abraham answered him, "God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Now, after the angel stopped Abraham from killing his son, look at verse 13. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. You have to wonder if it was there all the time. I don't know. He went over and he took the ram, and he sacrificed it as the burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide," Jehovah Jireh. And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." God provided him everything he needed. Do you believe He'll do that for you? He may test you to see if in fact you really believe what you sing about. The story of Abraham is a story of extreme obedience. Never in all of history has God asked one person for such obedience. Never once. Except for one other father-son story. God put His Son on the cross to demonstrate that He was willing to give us His very best. He is asking nothing that He has not already done. 1 Peter chapter 1, "For you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." God gave us His very best in Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Lamb, without blemish or defect, surrendered His will to the Father. 1 Peter chapter 2, "He committed no sin, no deceit was found in His mouth. When they hurled insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He did what? He entrusted Himself to the one who judges justly." Jesus trusted the Father to give Him everything He needed. He told His disciples in Matthew chapter 20, "We're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed to the chief priests, the teachers of the law. They will condemn Him to death. We'll turn Him over to the Gentiles. He'll be mocked and He'll be flogged and He will be crucified. And on the third day, He'll be raised to life." Jesus trusted God to raise Him back to life. Since God gave us His best, since we see in God the Son surrender unto death, since we see in God the Son one who never doubted the Father to give Him everything He needed, we can say with the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, "What then shall we say in response to all this? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things?" So questions today are very simple questions, yet very hard to apply. Are you willing to give God your best? Not second best, your best. Are you willing to surrender and trust God in every area of your life? Not in anything else. If you're trusting in anything besides God, you are trusting in the wrong thing. Are you willing to depend on Him for everything you need? Everything you need. Ball's in your court. Are you willing to give God your best?
And please stay with us. Just ahead, Ron returns with a look at our next time together. First, a word about our offer of Ron's book, Ignite. In its pages, he leads you step by step on a spiritual journey to a heart ignited by grace. Along the way, he reveals God's purpose in your stresses, pain, and tough times. By matching today's struggles with King David's tumultuous life, Ron paints a vivid picture of God meeting you wherever you are. He assures you that God is using your loneliness, brokenness, disappointment, and emptiness to fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
A somewhat Christian is never taken seriously. See, how are you going to share the gospel when a person can't tell what side you're on? How are you going to tell someone the difference Jesus Christ makes to transform your life when they're still looking to see where He's transformed your life?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And we invite you to order a copy of Ron's book, Ignite, to help fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite is yours for a gift of any amount. You can order it online at ronmoore.org. or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. We also invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. Biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Also, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.